Elevate Her podcast, where women in the insurance industry will have stimulating conversations, giving you a real insight into the insurance industry through the lens of women. I'm your host, Edwina McKinnon, and I am so excited to have you tune in today. I've been in the industry for over a decade, being a leader and a change agent. In each podcast, you'll experience thought-provoking conversations that will really spark innovation and really change the landscape of what people consider social norms in the insurance industry. Today, you will hear from, yes, some awesome women with the brightest minds in the industry. We'll be making an impact by confronting a lot of challenging topics, sharing our experiences, and really providing real actionable advice to you all. So with this time, I would love to take this opportunity to introduce and welcome my panel of exceptional women to the Elevate Her podcast. We will actually just take the time to go around right now and really just introduce ourselves and really get to know the amazing powerhouse of panelists that we have. Let's start with Shirley.
Hi, Edwina. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm Shirley Chisholm. I am an industry veteran of over 30 years, mostly in the brokerage field. And I have a network of women who we mentor, coach, and support each other. A conversation that we will continue to have as the afternoon goes on.
Thanks, Shirley. Next, we'll have Marwin Christie introduce herself.
I'm Marwin Christie. Thank you again for letting me be part of this great conversation today. I'm looking forward to more of these happening, as well as your future podcasts. This is very exciting, and I am so honored to be a part of it. I have been in the industry for just over 10 years. I have started from the very bottom and working my way up, and I look forward to exploring my journey as it goes and hearing more about how I can learn on my own.
Thanks, Marwin. Next, we'll have Chi Chi.
I'm Chi Chi Najaku. I work for Marsh Insurance. I work in our private client services. I am beyond excited to be a part of this conversation about support, supporting women within the insurance industry, and super grateful for this opportunity. So I'm looking forward to having an unvarnished conversation about support and mentorship within the insurance industry. Thank you.
Thanks, Chi Chi. We look forward to that conversation as well. Next we have up is Jordan.
Hi, Edwina, and hi, everyone. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join today's panel and for providing a platform for us to all chat about such an important topic of supporting each other. I have been in the insurance industry for just over 6 years. I'm currently with BrokerLink managing their group relations and portfolio. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you all today.
Thanks so much, Jordan. And honestly, to the panelists, you guys are powerhouse. And I am just so excited to have each and every one of you a part of this journey that we're on. This is, believe it or not, the first women's podcast in all of Canada. So we are really in a great position to really start to create a buzz around our names and around the insurance industry. So as I bring you all to the table, this is a great time to talk about the topic. So with that being said, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing how to really support one another as women in insurance. So with that being said, let's dive in and get this conversation started. So I think when we first start talking about women's support, I think the best area to start off is really defining what that is and what that looks like. So what does women's support really look like? What should it feel like? What should it really be? And I think, Shirley, you would be a great person to kick off this conversation with really defining, okay, what does women's support look like? How could we actually start to define it right now amongst us?
What does women supporting each other look like? I reiterate that I've been in the business for a long time, and I have seen what I honestly say, both sides of the coin. On one side, I have seen women support women through mentorship, coaching, championship, advocacy, and sponsorship. On the other side, I have seen biases in those relationships, which is not any different from being in a male-dominated domain, where you've seen those unconscious biases, prejudices, assumptions, preconceived notions, if you want. You know, I have seen where women, you know, some women are perceived to walk on water, while others are perceived as the water on which they walk on to get to wherever they need to go. So I really don't, I can't say that we have changed a lot over the years. I do believe that we have work that we need to do. And I think it's a legacy of this system, you know, which we have become largely a part of, where we have never really had a seat at the table, women, in, you know, the in the C-suites and leadership, and so it's almost like now that we have seen some traction put towards those leadership roles, that it becomes you know, who is going to get there first, you know, and it got to be me, and, you know, I'll take you out. But it doesn't need to be that way. What I have seen is when I've asked senior women, how did they get to where they are? Most often they speak about the male support that they received, the male mentorship, the male coaching. And, you know, it's never usually a particular woman that very rarely, sorry, is there a particular woman that helped them to get to where they are. So we have work to do, I would say.
Yeah, Shirley, you made a valid point. Like, you know, we definitely have a lot of work to do. When I was looking at just like the stats within the industry, yes, there's diversity there, but when you start to, you know, go up that executive team, you're still looking at a really male dominated industry. And if we take like a group of 10 executives, out of 10, we're looking at possibly one woman that's actually there. And I know with a lot of companies, that's usually the ratio. So you did raise a valid point. I would love to hear from you, Chi-Chi, like in regards to, let's try to define, what should women support look like? What should it feel like? We know that we're like, Shirley made a lot of valid points, but what could you bring, Shirley, Chi-Chi, to the conversation with just kind of letting people know what it should feel like? What should it look like?
Support can feel a little bit different for different people based on what position that they're in. But for the foundation of support, I feel that it should be just a comfortable space for you to be authentic and for you to be able to be a sponge and gain as much information that you need and actionable items that you need in order to move forward. Just going back to what you and Shirley said about the numbers, it's really staggering. We make up over 67% of the workforce within insurance. There's only 18% of us that are within the executives, and then only 4% of us make up the C-suite. So that support, the issue I find with support, or where we should be trying to gain more support, is that we need that little bunch of us that are up there to bring down that information and put together plans or talk to those of us that are looking to be in that position. And when I have received really great support, it was literally having a mentor tell me what I need to do, things that I needed to correct. It was a lot of correction, a lot of constructive criticism, which was in an uncomfortable space. But then because my mentor had created that area of support, I was able to feel comfortable in being very authentic and vulnerable and learning about things. So support really is just creating a relationship with somebody who is maybe at a higher level or same level.
Thanks, Chi-Chi. And do you find, because you touched on a really good point there. So if we look at the executive senior suite of management, and let's say there's only one, you know, woman holding a position, Do you find it hard to find mentorship knowing that there's very limited amount of individuals that you can seek mentorship from?
It is very difficult. You have to be somebody who carves out a name for yourself. So that's where a lot of personal branding, because you have to stick out, unfortunately. And it does go into kind of that competitive nature that is kind of inbred into us women working within insurance, because there are only so many people that you can go to. So you want to be able to gauge their attention and be that flashy kind of sparkly new thing. So it is very difficult. So that's why conversations like this is so important. And it's important that all of us take it on to support each other and also reach out, share information, share connections and things like that.
That's like a valid point. It's pretty tough, like even for like me speaking personally, I'd love to hear from everybody, but just like my personal, you know, journey through it, it's, you know, you need representation. That's like key for me. And coming into the industry, it was very, I came, you know, 12 years ago when it was like, honestly, like 90% male dominated in that, you know, realm of senior leadership and management. And it was very tough to find any sort of a woman, you know, holds some sort of a rank. And the woman that I did find almost kind of kept me at an arm's distance, where I wasn't easily accessible and I couldn't easily access that individual as a mentor. I'm curious, Jordan, like how do you feel with where support is right and women's support is right now? And maybe you can give us some insights as to how things are going with you and your experience.
And listening to you ladies, I feel very fortunate that you guys have built this path. I joined the insurance industry a little bit later than you all, so I'm only about 6 years deep. And I'm happy to say that I have felt supported since day one. When I started, I reported into a team of two women. I started at reception, and I would have never gotten my insurance license if it wasn't for the encouragement and support that those women provided me. They pushed me, they celebrated me, but continued to push me to get my level two, and that never stopped. And I can honestly say I wouldn't be here without the support that I've received. And the women are my biggest supporters. And that continues to stay true today. I report in to a woman now. And when I told her about this podcast, for example, she was cheering me on. She couldn't be more excited for me. And get, like, women are the ones that have lifted me up more so than anyone else in the industry. And I've found mentorship in every role that I've been in so far. So I feel very fortunate, and thank you ladies for building such a great path to a better future for the up and coming generations of women in insurance.
Yeah, that's actually the key, right? And this is actually a part of why I started this, is because there's a lot of new talent coming in, and you know, there's there's a lack of representation really across the board. And I know, Jordan, you said that you have that support, and you're so fortunate, because in most brokerages and in most companies, there's that representation that's always been a hinder with women progressing. Maybe Marwin, you can actually shed some light with your background and how things have really been going for you.
Thank you again, Edwina, for this conversation. I've had the opportunity of now hearing three other people's perspective, and I feel that I am at an advantage, because I have heard both sides of the coin, and I've been jotting down notes on my own thoughts. And it's funny, because as I speak, I'm thinking, you know what, hearing that person's story, we should do this going forward. And we could probably have an opportunity to maybe reach out, and reaching out was one of the things that came to mind. Nothing was really handed to me. I am a loud person. And if you know me, you know I am a loud person. And it has been something that I have been told to finesse, to dial down, to take it down a few notches, to maybe not be so loud or so out there. And very honestly, persistence has probably made it so that I don't listen to that very often. There's a time and a place. There is definitely a tact and a class in which you can go about it. And you do definitely need to know your audience, but I've always stayed fairly loud. And I've really enjoyed that about myself, because in a corporate industry, sorry about my AirPod, in a corporate industry, when you are trying to make a name for yourself, man or woman, being loud is always told to dial down. And I think women in insurance need more loud people, or maybe those that have been quieter to speak up, because we need to start reaching out. I've always been told that if you want something, make sure you're going out there. Make sure you're striving for it. Nobody's going to hand you anything. And as women, that's what we can change. We should start reaching out. We should start looking for talent and not waiting for them to come to us and approach them. We've been told to be quiet and to be silent and to wait until it's your turn. So let's make that opportunity for those that we see around us. Let's foster success and growth. Let's not wait for them to come to us. Let's reach out and let's find people that are like-minded, that are looking to grow, because it'll be easier to build our village, our community, our amazing women around us, if we reach out to the ones that wouldn't have been confident because they didn't have that individual. So be that individual. That's how you support people.
Just amazing. I liked what Marwin said. I liked what Jordan said. And while you were speaking, I was making notes even before Marwin and Jordan spoke. And I thought, whoa, this is exactly what the issue is. And this is what we talk about, different sides of the coin to I have that written down somewhere. You know, we experience different things, and we have a real diverse group here today. And I'm sure if we were to overlay our experiences, a lot of their outliers would be with a particular group. And so I one of the things that was mentioned earlier is, you know, there are so few women at the top of the food chain, and this is exactly what causes that elbow pushing and, you know, nudging, and the issues of not lack of support. Because if we are aware as women that there are only two seats at the table for a woman at any one time, you know, everybody's going to be fighting to get there first. And this is exactly what I have seen, that elbow nudging, because that person, those other women know that there's only one person for the next office. And if it's gonna be a woman, I want to be that woman. So you'll see that, you know, elbow bruising going on. And to Marwin's point, the squeaky wheels get the most oil, except we know that when you have a Black woman or a Black person being loud, we are seen as confrontational, aggressive, and we get, you know, cast into some group of not fit for the C-suite. So, you know, it always is a conversation that we have in D&I forum, where we're talking about the unconscious bias, because I've worked in this field for so long, and I've seen how it, you know, there's different measuring sticks, yardsticks, you know, so I've seen where, you know, that person who is, you know, overly bubbly and to your point, making the most noise, because you want what you want, and you know that you're not gonna take the no, especially when you're right? But if a Black person does that, if a person of color does that, it is perceived differently. The person feels threatened, especially if it's a different demographic you're dealing with. That person feels threatened. Oh, you know, she's coming at me. And so we have to toe that line. And so we are not able to do, as far as many people I've spoken with, we cannot do the same things and get to the same place.
Yeah, I think you guys all bring such diverse backgrounds for sure. And, just to kind of circle back with Marwin, I was like that really loud person as well. And it's interesting because I found it was the women that was critiquing me the most, with telling me, to go into that box. And it was to the point where I remember earlier on in my career, I had voiced my opinion about something, and they had said that I sounded angry. It was very disheartening being new to the industry and being told that. I even actually went through voice training because I thought that my voice was too loud. And, there was a point in my career where I turning things down. So I just stopped speaking up. I stopped speaking because in fear of people would say that I sounded angry or I sounded upset. And then, like I said, I went through that voice training. But when I look at the journey of a woman, we have so much that we have to deal with, like the criticism, the way that you should present yourself. We kind of have such pressure on us, like as women, to just really kind of fit that box that you're looking for. But something that really changed for me in 2019 was we don't have to dim our lights for anybody. We don't have to stop being who we are to make other people feel comfortable. We really have to own it. And honestly, when I started just taking a handle of my life and not living on autopilot and speaking up and making sure my voice was heard, no matter how it was perceived, things started happening. And if I can give our listeners anything, it's the universe is working for us, never against us. So always channel that. And Marwin, I really love the fact that you were so transparent with that, because I see that in the industry where a lot of women will put you into that cutter box. And if you don't fit it, you're almost seen as unprofessional or stay clear of her because she's a loud one. Or we don't want to have her in the meetings because we're afraid that she may say something that's against what we think. But this goes into tune. It's like pulling up. And this is why I have everybody here. It's because we want to hear from everybody, not just, senior management. Everybody's a leader. It doesn't matter about your title. It doesn't matter about anything, but it's really getting to the point where it doesn't matter what you say. Your opinion of me will not be my destination or my reality. And I think once we get to that point, we'll start to really level up as women. But something that I really wanted to talk about, it's going to kind of rock the table a little bit, but let's just take it there. I really wanted to talk about this cheerleading of women. And I think I feel like as women, we get so caught up with this cheerleading that there's really not a whole lot of concrete, valuable things that you can take away. So it's good to be a cheerleader, of course, for women, but what else? I feel like for women, we need more. Do you guys agree with me, Jordan? Maybe you can shed some light. Like, do you feel like women need more than just somebody cheering you on the stage?
I do think it is important to still celebrate accomplishments, whether that's a man or a woman, quite frankly. But yeah, it's the follow through. It's giving something concrete, like giving an example from my career. I've had female colleagues approach me with interest in sales, and my instinct is instantly to invite them to shadow me in a meeting, invite them for lunch, share my experiences, answer any questions, but encouraging them to not let any of the barriers get in their way. But I think the key is helping remove the barriers wherever I can, whether that's connecting them with a colleague somewhere else in the company or within the industry, saying her name in a room full of opportunities, even if she's not there, suggesting a relevant course or listening to a podcast that's going to support her career path. So following through with those concrete items in tandem with celebrating those accomplishments when they do make it there, I think is really the support that we all need, is the follow through.
I'm going to say a quote and really tell me what you feel about it. This quote was actually brought up to me, like where women and individual, anybody, they want you to do good, but they don't want you to do better than them. Do you feel like you face that right now in the industry where people genuinely want you to do good, but they don't want you to do better than them? And when you start becoming better than them, do you find like there's that wall that goes up and then that competition type of force comes in? Just chime in, anybody.
I think that's something that is regardless of gender. I think that is a competitive nature And there's going to be definitely a certain personality that is driven by a competitive nature. And then there's going to be other individuals. And this is, I think, a really good place for us to get to is don't even think about it. Don't even have it on your radar. If you sense that type of presence from an individual that they don't want you to do better, they just want you to stay lateral to where they are, then you're actually letting that mindset, you're letting that thought process enter in, and you are going to have doubt. And there are so many things that are going to be put at us that are going to involve doubt. And the strongest thing we can do, and the thing we must always practice in doing, is replacing it with, it doesn't matter. There will always be somebody who doesn't think the same as I do, but who has more drive. Because drive and persistence will push out a hand up, will push out privilege, will push it out. Drive and persistence has been the result of everyone's success. So yes, that it's how do you deal with it? How do you overcome it? For me, you know, I try to ignore it. I make my own thoughts louder. I make my own voice louder. And we have to, like, it's such a skill. It is not something you can necessarily be born with. There were many times that I felt insecure, that I didn't feel I belonged, that I pushed myself in the corner. And it was a skill to learn that you do need to put yourself first. Because that person who says, don't be as good as me, but don't be better than me, is putting them first. So you have to have that mindset. You have to make yourself a priority and your goals a priority, and you need to be persistent. And that's one thing, Edwina, you said you had gone through that journey, and we've had that great opportunity to have those conversations. And you can see when you say something to somebody. So as a woman, regardless of you know, position, you can say things to people that make an impact. My team, you know, I have the pleasure of managing a sales team that's very, very passionate, and it's been wonderful at my journey at Gallagher. But I started off this team and I had a majority of women. I had a majority of women older than me. And wow, like my first 2 years at Gallagher were extremely big learning experience. And it was the women the women on my team, the colleagues I got to work with, telling me that I was doing the right thing to keep moving further. So it was somebody who I wasn't looking up to, but possibly even looking up to me, that made me pursue it. And that's kind of where we need to be. Because even if somebody is ahead of us, if there is a woman taking that second seat at the table, congratulating them and being happy for them genuinely, it has to be genuine. If it's not genuine, it doesn't matter. We need to get there because it's a great success, and having that positivity is so important.
If you have a woman that is supporting you, that you're amplifying her as well, and letting management know that this person is walking me through this. And we have to, it was interesting because Edwina said something to me about bringing everybody along, right? So it's not just you doing it. We have to expand our mind that each woman that helps you move forward or learn more, bring her along. Who knows where that positive feedback will go with management, or where she's at, or if she just needs to know that I really truly appreciate what you're doing for me. And the more that we're able to bring the more of us along this journey, the greater we'll kind of push down, like that little narrow kind of 4%, we'll be able to expand it into something greater. And I completely agree with you, Marin, when you said that it may not be somebody who is the CEO, but it might be people that work on your team or you're working with that will be there to support you and let you know that what you are doing is right, and also encourage you. Because I do find the same thing. Before, earlier in my career, I was described as very loud and boisterous, right? So I would come on to these teams and it would be people have been around for 20, 30 years. And it would be like, oh, Chi-Chi's going to be here. And I just out of not being naive, but just wanting to know why does it, because I came from banking, why are we doing this in the same way? And I would always voice that in meetings, and it would be that awkward kind of like, okay, well, take that offline kind of thing, right? But, and then the meeting would go through and we haven't done anything. So now that I'm in a position where that is who I am, I'm loud, I say what I'm thinking, I believe in innovation, because if we don't have this conversation now, we're not going to move things forward. I do believe that that needs to be encouraged and celebrated whenever you have somebody around you that is like that and has that mind, and not mute them. Because even in a meeting, I'll give you an example. In a meeting, there is somebody who is new and wanted to know the why behind something. And I'm like, no, let's hear this out a little bit. Let's like varnish this out. And at the end of the meeting, the person came up to me, well, not came up to me, but sent me a little note. Thanks so much for that. I was so nervous to speak up. I thought that it would be something that I wouldn't be able to bring out to the team. And I didn't even think of it because I'm so far removed from it, because that's how I function. But to give that to somebody else was such a great kind of throwback to where I was umpteen years ago when I first started. So it's really, that's why it's great that we're having this conversation about these things, because I don't hear it from other people because I'm kind of in my head about these things. But it's interesting to hear that a lot of us are experiencing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's quite interesting. To kind of reflect on it, it's almost like you want to be the change that you want to see, Chi-Chi. And that's kind of like what I just kind of witnessed with you giving back to another woman. But even for myself personally too, it's like, if I'm moving up the ladder, there's no point of me just moving up. And I think this is where the mindset of women need to change in the industry, is that if you're moving up, pay it forward, bring another woman with you. Don't just move up and be like, hey, I've reached it, I'm here. No, the immediate emotion should be, yes, you're grateful, but how am I going to pay it forward to the next woman and bring them up with me? And I think it's so critical. And this is why I said we need to kind of move away from just cheerleading and being that support, because we have that. We know how to do it now. Like we've mastered that. So what next, right? That brings us into our next kind of discussion point here, is like, what next can we actually do as women right now to really start to pay it forward to each other? And something that I can bring to the table for sure is opportunity. And when I look at the difference between any one of us, the difference is because you have been given an opportunity to be able to really start to learn these new skills and develop it. Do you feel that there's opportunities not being given to everybody on the same wavelength? Do you feel like even too that there's lots of limitations with the opportunities that's going around? Maybe Shirley, you can kind of chime in here because you do have a lot of a background with what's really going on amongst women.
As you were speaking earlier, and Chi-Chi and all these lovely ladies, the esteemed panelists, I'm just encouraged, because the conversation is so familiar. It's I just love the fact that this is being spoken about in a more open forum. And I recount this African proverb, which says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And we talk about that in context of, do we create space for others? How do we create and encourage others to take those opportunities that are available? And especially if they're not aware of it, do you identify somebody's potential? Do you nudge them on the shoulder and say, I think you'd be good for this? So as you know, Ebony Women International Insurance Network is something that I'm very passionate about. And this is the reason I do that, because I have always wanted to encourage women to be to take advantage of those opportunities, to seek them out. First of all, to equip yourself so that when those opportunities come, you're ready to take them. And so we mentor women into grooming, filling your toolboxes, right? So that you can be ready. And when that opportunity comes, you are able to move into those opportunities. And I have never hesitated to nudge somebody on the shoulder and say, here, have you seen this? Are you aware that this opportunity exists? What do you need? How can I help you? We have a group of women who, you know, this is what we do in our networking sessions, right? We speak about, you know, what opportunities are available, what they need to, you know, equip themselves to take advantage of those opportunities. And, you know, how can we support them along the journey? You know, it's not about, you know, me or you individual. I have never been concerned about me as an individual. As a matter of fact, what I like to think is as each person, I think, once you recognize your purpose in this life, in this space, when you recognize what your purpose is, and you know that you're here for this, then it doesn't matter. You just do what you need to do. You will be so confident and competent in those, in executing that because you know it's part of your path, your purpose. And so I find that I have never really competed with anybody who thinks that, why did you not apply for that? Why did you tell that person about that? It wasn't mine. My purpose is to be that, you know, conduit. I call myself a connector, to connect you to that opportunity. I don't think that that was meant for me. And so that is, I think we have to be more comfortable in our space and to know, you know, not everything is directly for you to handle. Sometimes it's for you to point the way or be the bridge for somebody else to connect.
Yeah, I love that, Shirley. I really do love that because it goes back into that pay it forward mentality where it not, you know, what's meant for you is for you, right? And what's meant for somebody else is for somebody else. And it's good to be in a space where you're comfortable with saying, you know what, this position that's up, you know, that opportunity, this would be great for you to proceed, to go after. But you did touch upon something about grooming. And if we were to talk about, you know, actionable items, that is something for sure that's going to be on our list to talk about is grooming. Is there a lot of grooming that's happening within the industry, either from a male or a woman? Because you talk about being ready for the opportunity when it's handed to you, but how do you become ready for an opportunity if you were never really groomed for that opportunity? Marwin, I know you are a manager. Maybe you can kind of highlight some things on that topic for sure about grooming. Is there any point in your career where you actually took somebody and groomed them for an opportunity that may come down the line?
This is a good opportunity because I have not provided my bio. I consider me. So something to always remember, whether you're talking grooming or not, because branding comes into grooming a lot. When you're talking about your brand, it's your individual. But thank you, Edwina. Yes, I manage a regional sales team for Gallagher in Ontario and recently took on Atlantic. That involves also a back office team, as well as a couple other administrative and operation sides of it. I have the pleasure of working with pretty much an entirely female colleague leadership team. So I have colleagues lateral to me and, you know, three scales up are all women. And it's been wonderful to have that experience because when it comes to grooming, I have had the opportunity of getting a lot of opinions. And I don't know if I'm being groomed personally. I don't know if I'm being groomed, but I am definitely a sponge. I am getting a lot of amazing advice. And am I grooming anyone specifically or have I ever? Not intentionally. I don't think I've ever intentionally tried to create or instill a perspective or a way to go about a career for somebody. I have definitely shared knowledge. And I think that's a wonderful thing that regardless of who you're sharing it with, regardless male or female, but you know, the conversation is female. And I think that's one thing when we talk about bringing somebody up and grooming them, share your knowledge. You learned things, you learned tricks of the trade, you went through lessons, you fell on your face. I've fallen on my face many times. I've, you know, slipped up and been too loud, even for my own self in a meeting, or said something that would have been better received in different contexts or different presence. And sharing that knowledge is really important. That is, that's the main thing of grooming, is the sharing of knowledge, which is what has got us through the ages. And so sharing knowledge about comp, you know, is something that we don't talk about. So compensation is a conversation that we as women need to get so much better at. We have such an opportunity there because we are possibly getting great roles, but are we being compensated fairly? Are we understanding our value, the money we bring to the table, which is our brain? And are we saying, you know what, I'm comfortable and I'm confident enough to ask for what I'm owed? So when it comes to grooming, no, I've never groomed somebody, but I have definitely coached people on how they can have a right comp conversation, how they can negotiate a contract, how they can do things now for what they want to do 5 years from now, because you really need to think about your plan in longevity, because if you don't make the right moves now, you won't be where you want to be in 5 years.
Amazing. If I can just drop it like a bomb right now, like I feel like what you just said was like groundbreaking, because it is true, Maren. I feel like the grooming, that's an aspect of it. It's just like passing on knowledge, like even that small thing. And even if there's like a lady that's maybe expressed something to you, like, hey, you know, I'm trying to go for this position. That's a good thing to listen to and be able to help them by passing down knowledge. Like even, you know, the basic things, like how do you negotiate your pay when you're up for that sort of, you know, a pay increase? Like these are things that women, I feel like we put ourselves in boxes and kind of stay clear of. We're just more happy the fact that we got the opportunity. We don't even want to even talk about the salary because we're afraid that if we start to talk about the salary, it may take that whole opportunity off the table. But I really want to say is what's meant for you, it will be for you regardless. So you really have to own that. Before we actually move into actionable items, I would love to hear Chi-Chi and Jordan just add maybe a few points to kind of close off in this section. Chi-Chi, did you want to go and maybe talk about the grooming or how, or what are ways that we can really start to provide opportunity for each other?
I do think grooming is a large part. I'm somebody who has been fortunate enough to have somebody kind of walk me step by step into a role that I wanted. And also onto a project. So I do think that that's really important. I find that it's most beneficial when it's kind of in an informal way and from somebody that you've built that relationship with. And I think you guys touched on a really, really great topic about when you do get the opportunity or get the role or on a new team, how do you talk about money, or how do you talk about compensation? I have found many of times I've just been happy to get the opportunity, and I had to rely on another woman to say to me, have you had the conversation about you're taking on more? What does that mean compensation wise? And I think as women, we need to be very transparent with each other and tell each other what we're making and not keep that as a secret. And I know that's a faux pas, that may be a little bit of a faux pas overall, regardless of gender, about compensation, but I do find that it is beneficial to have those conversations. And then also, you know, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, be groomed or even ask for the opportunity to say, hey, listen, this is what I want to do in the next 2, 3 years, 5 years. Because as Maren said, that you have to be very strategic in how you plan your career, especially in this industry, because, you know, gone are the days you may move brokerages, but you're always going to be in insurance. Gone are the days where people are just kind of exiting out. We're here for the long run. And, you know, in our industry, we don't stop. COVID happened. If anything, things got more busy. So that's why it's so important that we have to support each other in these unconventional ways, because, you know, like we're constantly evolving and like we're really on the uptick. So those are my thoughts around grooming and just kind of thinking outside of the box with our support and everything. So such a great conversation we're having.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to you ladies and feel so fortunate. Specifically, Shirley, you mentioned some of the things you've done to lift people up and bring them along for the journey. And that's exactly what I've experienced. So for me, I want to provide the same experience to up and coming women in insurance that I was provided and still am being provided. There's more women on than I have fingers on my hand that I can count on for, you know, not just knowledge within insurance, but leaning on them outside of insurance as well. Like a great example recently, I no longer work with this woman. She's a former colleague. I consider her a friend, a mentor. When I started at RSA, I had a calendar full of these golf tournaments, and I've never golfed a day in my life. And I was so nervous. I knew I was going to embarrass myself. I was just chatting with her casually over dinner, and instantly she's like, well, let's join a league together. And we did. And it was so much fun. Our last game was yesterday, actually, but it wasn't only fun. It has been so beneficial to my career, meeting new people. And now I feel confident and comfortable to do those events. And it was because of her. So it's not just the support in the industry, it's in our personal lives as well. And taking that outside of work and supporting on the personal aspect as well. I think if anything, COVID's shown that, you know, it's not work life and home life, it's life. And we need to support each other on the entire journey of life.
I love that, Jordan. That was like epic. Thank you so much for sharing. So at this section of our conversation, our listeners, I would urge you to get a pen and paper because we're about to drop some gems right now. We're going to go round table and we're going to talk about some actionable items that we can really share to the listeners that they can literally start to implement right now as soon as they log off of this podcast series. And something that I wanted to share is the reason why I'm really big on actionable items is because I would go to these women empowerment events and these inspirational events and feel so motivated and pumped within the actual session. And weeks go by, you know, and you start to kind of deflate, and that momentum, that feeling that you had kind of goes back down to how you were feeling before the session. And a lot of the times I would start to feel stuck. Okay, what next? Like I felt super empowered, but what next? So that's why I'm really big on actionable items. So when the emotion goes down, when that, you know, that high of being empowered goes down and you're sitting, you know, in front of your, on your desk and looking at your laptop and trying to figure out, okay, what next? Let's give the viewer something next that they can start to implement right now. And let's start with Shirley. Just say something really quick, one actionable item that the listeners can literally write down right now and start to implement within their career.
One item? Oh my goodness, a challenge. Okay, you know, what I'd say is women, it is important to acknowledge the person who supported you or helped you in any way. Be authentic. Make sure you use integrity. I think that is all about your integrity. When you can say, so-and-so helped me to do this. So acknowledge where your help came from.
I know it's hard to think of just one actionable item. I think it, for those that are listening, if you take anything away from this, perhaps do an exercise. So think of in the last 30 days or so, a woman that helped you make a task on your job easier, who I would go with something tangible. So a task on your job. So if somebody helped you with the file, if somebody helped you with coaching, send an email to that person, recognize them, amplify them, and then ask them if it's okay if you send that email to their leader or management. And then that's just the one thing that you can do. So if you do that once every 2 weeks or once every time it comes up, you'll find that you're constantly taking in positive actions that somebody has done to help you in your day and also amplifying them and bringing them along on the journey so that their name is kind of in the ear or in the mind of management when things are coming up.
For me, I mean, this is pre-COVID, post-COVID, join a networking event, but take it a step further and invite a female colleague with you. They may not feel comfortable going to an event by themselves. I know personally speaking, I was always nervous too. and a woman took me along for the ride, and I've never looked back. There are so many, as you even mentioned, Edwina, inspirational, educational events that are held across the country in our industry. So there's no shortage of ways to get involved, that's for sure. But attending these events can not only open doors for you, but it can help provide some inspiration to your career path as well. That is what started my passion for sales and business development, was making those genuine connections with complete strangers at a networking event. And it was all because someone pushed me to step outside of my comfort zone. So be that person for someone else.
I love that. Gems are being dropped. I hope the listeners are writing these down because these are hot. Marwin, close us off with one of your actionable items that the listeners could literally start to implement right now.
And thank you again, Edwina. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, this has been so tingly. Like, you hear things people say, like your hair tingles, your skin tingles, and it gets me excited. So that's the universe, as you were saying throughout this conversation, like this is sparking something. So thank you, Edwina. But when it comes to an actionable item, something that every time you go to an interview that I've been in has been a 30-60-90. What are you going to do in the next 30 days, the next 60 days, the next 90 days to, you know, develop within what we're looking from you? And I've always taken that and used it to say, where do I want to go? And create yourself a 30-day, a 60-day, and a 90-day plan, because you are going to be extremely surprised what can happen over a 90-day period. So in the next 30 days, what are you going to do to get yourself to where you need to be? And 60 days, what are you going to do again? And 90 days, what are you going to do again? You know, they always say 21 days creates a habit, 90 days creates a lifestyle. It's the structure. And I think no matter who you are, regardless of your personality or your background, structure helps. It gives a plan. We can throw in an axe everywhere, but if you don't know where the bullseye is, you don't know where to throw it. So create a bullseye for yourself. That's why there's rings in it. It doesn't mean you're going to get there right away, but you know what you're aiming for. So that 30, 60, 90 day plan will let you start thinking about how to aim for it and create a behavior of how to plan for it. And that will probably be your best success. And stay within insurance. Don't leave it. This industry and becoming part of Gallagher, because it's an international company, has expanded my mind to, there is not a career out here that is not within in the insurance industry, from marketing, from sales, from service, from digital, from creative. Every element is within insurance. So keep your eye in the same industry. You can have a variety of careers, but you put time in, so make it worth it.
I love that, Marwin. I really do. Just to be very transparent, like I was a few years ago, I was on my way out of the industry, legit 2020. And it was another woman that got me to come back and really keep my eyes on the prize. So to all of the listeners and all of the women, don't be discouraged. So my actionable item is speak up. Nobody's going to know that you want an opportunity unless you speak up. Nobody's going to know that you need a mentor. Nobody's going to know that you need knowledge sharing, or you need somebody that's going to pass down that wealth of knowledge. Nobody's going to know that unless you use your voice. And women, when you start shooting your shot, things start to really change. And when you start not caring about what other people's opinion is of you and dictating your career growth, your compensation, like Marwin said, these are things that really we're going to need to use and elevate. So I wanted to say from, you know, the bottom of my heart, thank you, ladies, for joining me on our very first episode that's going to be launched. And we're looking at 20,000 possible viewers on this podcast. So I thank you so much, Shirley, Chi-Chi, Marwin, and Jordan, for coming and bringing your transparency and having a great conversation today. And I really hope this episode leaves you wanting more because we are going to be giving you more. And I hope that you're able to really take down these actionable advice and create more in your career, other than that feeling of that emotional high, but really now looking and digging deep and listening to the actionable advice that is in this episode. So thank you so much. And we will see you very soon. Stay tuned.